Joshua chapter 2 and verse 15. Then she let them down by cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. I want to read it one more time. Joshua 2 and verse 15. Then she let them down by cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Brother Danny, would you lead us in prayer this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's raining. You're not in a hurry now anyway. Can't leave. I might preach 4 hours. Amen. I'm kidding. Amen. I want to talk to us this morning on the woman in the window. The woman in the window. I was studying this and reading it, and as you know, I've mentioned windows the past few services. Thursday night, a few nights ago, or a week or so ago, I preached on the window, and I brought it up last Sunday morning again, and I'm going to talk about the window again today, because I see a great danger in folks doing the wrong things in the windows, and looking out. So I want to try to help us with this. A mother's job is to teach her children not to need her anymore. Think about that with me a minute. A mother's job is to teach her children not to need her anymore. One of the hardest parts of your job, mother, is accepting success. That you have raised that child and it no longer needs you. It's now its own individual person, lives its own life. A mother's job is not to create children to be just like them or even just like their father. But a mother's job is to allow those children to become their own individual person, to develop their own personalities. But the mother must coach, guide, and discipline those personalities to be the best that they can be. A mother's job is to allow children to have the right to their own opinions, allow them to fail, but never tell them they are a failure. Can I say it again? Allow them to fail, but never tell them they are a failure. Encourage them to try again. Allow them to succeed. Compliment them for it when they do. I remember when Emma Lynn was just a little tiny baby, and she got to wanting to try different things and push the limits. And her mama would say, "She can't do that." I'd say, "You don't know if she can or not. Let her try. If she can't do it, she'll figure it out. She don't need me or you to tell her that she can't do it." It seems like this morning I can look back in my mind and I can still see my mother standing in the window and watching us as children, looking out, watching us play. I can almost see her silhouette and the faint lines of her smile as she watched with pride from the doorway. We had French doors, big full glass, and I can remember seeing Mama stand there looking out that window. I can almost see now her calling my name and my sister and little brother's name, saying, "Come on, supper is ready." But more than that, if you were to somehow look through my eyes and see through the window of my eyes the things that I have seen through the years as I grew up, and see the woman in the window that I call mother. And I know I can only preach from what I know, and that's why I use my mother this morning, and so I'll use her. But I see a woman of God. I see a prayer warrior. I see through the eyes of the past, the window looking into the past, I see a woman who I would hear at 12 o'clock in the morning speaking with other tongues throughout our whole house. It shook the rafters. It shook the place. But more than shaking the rafters of my daddy's house, it shook my soul. That's what I see when I look back into the past. I see a mother who opened her Bible every morning and every evening, read it and prayed, sought God. I see a woman who raised five men, not boys. A woman who had her first child when she was 17 or 18 years old, had their first child, had the last one when she was probably somewhere in her late 30s, but raised five men. Four of them preachers today. I'm just talking about the woman that I see in the window. Going to church when I was a child was exciting. Before service started, we'd gather around our little huddle. We'd discuss things that mattered to us as children, just like all the adults did. Adults would gather around, talk about things that mattered to them. We talked about what mattered to us. But when service started, our mother made sure that we gave our undivided attention to the Word of God. We weren't allowed to play in church. Weren't allowed. We gave our attention. Now, I'm not talking about little infants. I'm talking about when we got up in age, you know. Wasn't allowed, probably, to do those things. My mother wanted us to hear the Word of God. When church was over, we ran out the door. We ran. We played. Mom and Dad would talk as we ran out the door. I still remember it. Mom would say, "Don't mess up them good clothes. Don't you get a hole in them pants." We'd run out, and sometimes we scuffed our shoes. Sometimes we put holes in our good jeans. But in the end, I always knew my mama is going to love me. Participating in church functions was never forbidden. It was always encouraged. You can do it. You just got to try. If you'd have known me probably 12, 13 years ago, you'd have known a very bashful, very shy, very backwards person. I didn't like being up front and a bunch of people. And then God decided that He's going to call me to preach. But I struggled with my insecurities. I struggled to make friends. I struggled to get outside of my comfort zone. And I can remember Mama telling me, "Son, you just got to go up and talk to those other little boys. You just got to make..." I remember over and over, she quote that Bible verse, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." I say, "But Mom, I don't know them." She say, "You're never going to if you don't go try." The taking away of pleasure was never used as punishment in our home. Punishment was always with a belt. If Mom could not get the job done, you can believe Dad was going to get it done when he came home. We learned to respect our mother. I remember one time, I believe you could ask my mother and she'd verify it. "Don't get scared. I ain't picking on you, buddy. I'm talking about my mother." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember one time I ever spoke back to my mother. And I talked back to her. And I saw my mother begin to cry. I had kicked out the door. And as soon as the door shut behind me, I started to cry also. I went back in, I hugged my mama around the neck. I said, "Mama, I promise you this, I will never smart off to you ever again. I am sorry." I believe that's only the one time that I ever did it. I don't recall it ever again because my mother taught us to respect her and my dad backed her up. Countless times we would track through the house, stain her furniture, spill orange drink in her car, Mom would get upset. I'm not here to say Mom was a perfect angel. Mom would get upset. She'd fuss. She'd complain. She'd say, I can't have nothing without y'all destroying it. That's what she said. Every time I try to get something new, y'all mess it up. That's what she'd say. But in the end, I always knew I mean more to my mother than anything in that home, than any automobile. You may disagree with how my mother did it, but my mother raised 8 children. All 8 of them are saved today. All 8 of them are married to the same spouse. All 8 of them are still going to a holiness church. I have to look back, Brother Danny, to the woman in the window and say she did it right. She did it good. I have to pattern Sister Rena my life after the way my mother did it. My mother never made me feel like one of my siblings was better than I was or could do something better than I could. She'd always say, you can do it. You can do it just as good. Growing up, I struggled with school. Oh, I struggled with school. It wasn't that I couldn't do it. It's I didn't want to do it. I'd rather be outside playing. I'd rather be doing this or doing that. And I'd sit there and I'd daydream and drift off somewhere. My sister's right under me, Kristen. She's 17 months younger than I am. I mean, she could get it. She'd just rattle them things off, and math was nothing to her. But I seemed to struggle with it. But my mama never talked about my failures in front of other people, never talked about my struggles in front of other children. She always made me feel like I was just as good as they were. My mother taught me to read the Bible. She taught me to pray. My mother taught me to be a man of God. I remember every night my mama would say, when we was little, as we got older, she quit saying it as much and trusted that we had it in our heart. She'd say, go get dressed for bed, brush your teeth, change into your night clothes, read your Bible, and pray. We'd go do that because my mother taught me how to do it. I'm talking about the woman that I see in the window. My mother allowed me to become a man. It is a strange thing, the relationship between a good man and his mother. My mother has never looked at me and said, son, let me tell you something. I'm still your mama. She's never done that. It makes me cringe when I see a mama do that to a good man. You see, it must be respectful, but that mother must learn, just as the son must learn. The son is now a grown man. The son is now, according to the word of God, the authority. And the mother must learn. You find that very clearly when Jesus was there at the wedding of Cana. Mary said to Jesus, they have no wine. The mother said to the son, here's a problem. Can you do something with it? Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Mary said, whatsoever he saith to you to do, do it. You see, I said it's a strange thing, the relationship between a good man and his mother. When a good son becomes a man, then in a strange way, those roles reverse. The son still respects his mother, but the mother respects the man her son has become. This is not a commercial about me, but I have preached messages and I have saw my own mother get in an altar and cry and pray and shed tears. I didn't preach specifically to her that I knew, but I saw when she allowed me to become the man that God wanted me to be. You see, it's a great responsibility that you have as a mother. Because when your son becomes a man, you're no longer his boss. In the early years, the son is subject and obedient to the mother. But as they get older, We must learn the son still respects and reverences, walks softly in the presence of his mother. That's the woman that bore you. To say it plain, that's the woman who changed your dirty diapers. That's the woman who cleaned up puke off the floor. That's the woman who loved you when nobody else did. If you speak back and talk back to your mother, you're a pretty sorry individual. That's just good holiness preaching. Amen. That's just good. Amen. You see, it never makes a man more of a man when they belittle, degrade, or downplay a woman and her work. Because a woman's job is never done. If they're a stay-at-home mother, they're always on the clock 24 hours a day. If they work outside the home, they have to go to work, they have to come home, and most of the time they do the dishes and wash the clothes and all of that. A woman's job is never through. The woman in the window, that's the woman that I see. We had church in our home for, I want to say, around 7 or 8 years. A little 25 by 35 garage is what it was. We went in there. We put sheetrock up. We closed it in. We had upwards of 75 people there at one time in service. And I remember my mother every Saturday night cleaning till 2 o'clock in the morning, making sure that house was spotless. I remember her getting up at 4:30 in the morning, putting the roast in the oven. I remember my mother staying up late on Saturday night, studying for Sunday school, going to church, smiling and greeting everyone. I'm just telling you about the woman that I see in the window. I want to show you some women in the Bible who were in the window. Judges chapter 5 and verse number 28, the Bible said, "The mother of Sisera looked out the window and cried through the lattice, 'Why is his chariot so long in coming? And why tarry the wheels of his chariots?'" You see, this is a pathetic picture of hope where there is no hope. This was this mother of Sisera, who we do not have her name. But this mother had raised her child to be a hater of God's people. She had raised her son to be a killer of Israel. And Sisera had went out in his chariot, Brother David, and had fought against the people of God, destroying them, overthrowing them. And you see, there was a woman, I preached about it last Mother's Day, Jael, who smote Sisera. Jael came in, Sisera came in expecting to find refuge from the enemy that was pursuing him. And when Jael came in, Sisera came in, Jael took the nail and smote Sisera through his temple and fastened his head to the ground so that he died. You see, too many mothers have raised their children to be haters of holiness. They have raised them to despise the truth of God's word. They've raised them to despise what the Bible said in black and white and red. And there came a day when those children that they raised, that mother looks out the window. Now again, please understand me. I understand that sometimes children are rebellious and you raised them right. You did good, and they still just go to the world bent and determined. But there are others who much of their faults are to be blamed upon the way that a mother raised them. And there comes a day when the mother stands in the window and looks out saying, "Where is my little boy? Where is the man that I raised? Why has the wheels of his chariot been delayed so long? What has happened? What's going on? Where is my baby?" You need to understand, her baby had met the judgment of God because she raised him to be a hater and a despiser of God's people. And he went out and raised war against God's children. And when he did, God called him into judgment. And Sisera died at the hand of a woman of God. The challenge this morning, mother, is that you raise your children to love holiness. The challenge this morning is that you raise them to love God, that you raise them to love the preacher more than anything, that you raise them to love and to cherish the house of God, to respect it. Never let them hear you talking about the preacher. Never let them hear you talking about somebody in the church. The challenge, grandmother, is that you teach those children to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all of their soul. But Sisera's mother looked out the window, and her son never did come home, because she raised him up to live after the ways of the world. Listen to me this morning, sister. You've got a job to do, and it's to raise your children in the house of God. It's never been a grandparents' responsibility to raise their children, their grandchildren in the house of God. While there are some who have stepped up to the plate and have taken grandchildren to the house of God, they already raised their children, and now they're yours to raise. They ought to be in church every Sunday, every midweek. It's your job, or there will come a day when you stand and look in the window and say, where is my boy? And why has his chariot wheels delayed so long? It won't be the wheels of a chariot, but it'll be the wheels of an automobile. When your baby has been out drinking or drugging and you wonder, is he still alive? You've got to raise your babies in the house of God and raise them to love the altar, raise them to love church more than anything in this world. You see, the mother of Sisera looked out the window and she cried through the lattice, why is this chariot so long in coming? Why isn't my baby home yet? Where's he at? He's my son. What's going on? You see, he was out reveling, out having a good time, because that's what his mother taught him how to do. Notice next, there's a woman named Michal. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible said, and the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. And Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. This is the second woman that I want you to look at in the window. Just pause for a moment. Turn your mind's eye up to the palace window and look. See there? No, it's not Sisera's mother, but Brother David, it's Michal, the daughter of a king. It's Saul's daughter, David's wife. And she looks out the window and she sees her husband, who is leaping and dancing and worshiping God. He loved church. He loves the house of God. He loves the presence of God. But that woman in the window, Michal, Saul's daughter, she looked at, she hated it. You hear me this morning? There are a lot of women who despise the fact that their husbands are trying to serve God. They despise the fact that their children are trying to live for the Lord. And Michal looked out the window and despised David. I came to encourage you this morning. When you look out the window, you better not despise holiness. You better not despise the truth. Because the Bible said, when David came Damien, that Michael, the daughter of Saul, looked at David and said, how glorious was the king today who made himself abased in the sight of everyone. And David turned and looked at her and said, it was before the Lord who chose me above the house of thy father to be king in Israel. And David told Michael, you will have no child to the day of your death. This woman in the window was never permitted to become a mother because she despised the truth and she despised worship. I challenge you, mama, when you stand in the window, do not despise the truth of God's word.
But there is another. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Israel, Jezebel heard of it. The Bible said, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out a window. You see, this woman, Jezebel, she went to the window. She heard the man of God is about to come riding in, Jehu, the new king. And Jezebel went to the window. She fixed her hair up real seductive. She painted her face up real seductive. She made herself look as one of the vain, vile women. And Jehu, as he's coming in, he looks up at the window, and there is a woman peering out at him, despising what he stands for, despising the truth. And Jehu entered the gate, and this is what he said when he lifted up his face to the window. Jehu said, who is on my side? And then from another window, the Bible said two eunuchs stuck their heads out the window, and Jehu looked at them and said, throw her down. And those two men, they went to the Queen Jezebel, and they picked her up, and they threw her out the window, and she fell down to the ground, and there she died. And Jehu rode his horse right up to the door, and he went in and ate and drank. And the Bible says, when he was done, he said to those, go out there and pick up her body. Go give her a proper burial. Hey, but what happened was, when they got out there, the only thing that was left was her head and the palms of her hands, because the wild dogs had came in and had devoured the body of Jezebel. Hey, because she was looking out the window, she should have been praying in an altar. Hear me this morning, mama. If you're a mother looking out the window, if you're a woman looking out the window, the Bible said that they were to be clothed with shamefacedness and sobriety. Amen. Not with the outward adorning. It's what the Bible said. You've got a challenge this morning that when your children look back and they see you standing in the window of life, is she a mother who loves them? Is she a mother who taught them the truth? A grandmother, you've got a responsibility that those grandchildren see. A woman who prays and reads her Bible at church means more to her than anything in the world. Listen to me. If you're in the window, let's make sure you're a woman of God.
Bible said, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. The final woman I want to talk to you about this morning is a woman named Rahab. Rahab the harlot is what the Bible referenced her as. This case shows a very different story from all of the others that we have seen. I've studied, I've looked through the Bible, And when you see a woman in the window, they are generally painted in a very negative light. Generally, it's not good. But here is a woman who is not looking out the window. But this is a woman who is actively lowering men out the window and communicating with them. The use of this woman's window, it does not mark her as vile or evil. Instead, this woman, Rahab, dominates the story entirely. Instead, this woman, Rahab, is set up on a pedestal. Instead, she's given accolades. Instead, roses are pinned and a crown is placed on her head. Why? Because this woman, she made good use of the window. You see, there came two men, spies of Israel. They came in and they met the woman Rahab. She was commonly known as a harlot. Hey, God help me. And she went in and they went up to her house, began to talk to her. And Rahab said, "We have heard of the blessings of the Lord upon you. We have heard about the Red Sea. We have heard about the Jordan River. We have heard about water in the desert." Rahab the harlot said, "We have heard about the manna. We have heard about all of that. And my hearts have trembled hearing about what the Lord has done." Rahab the harlot was saying, "I do not want the judgment of God to come upon me like it has come upon others." They began to talk to her. And then the men came looking for those two spies. Rahab hid them, wouldn't turn them in. When they were gone, Rahab got a scarlet thread. Rahab got a scarlet thread, and she bound it in the window, and she threw it out over the edge. That scarlet thread peeled all the way down, landed somewhere near the bottom. And those two men grabbed a hold of that scarlet thread. And they swung a leg out the window. And one by one they slid down. And they found safety. They went back to Israel. Because a woman in the window wanted the will of God for her life. And then the Bible said that they made her swear that they would put that scarlet thread in the window. And so I noticed a silent tongue. Amen. I'm not picking on you, but according to the Bible, women are naturally known and prone to talk a little more than what they should. 1 Timothy 5:13 was speaking to women. And the Bible said, withal they learned to be idle, wandering from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking in things which they ought not. You see, it is the tendency for gossip. It's the tendency for backbiting. I'm not saying that men don't have those tendencies, because they do. But here in this text, the writer was specifically dealing with the women. But listen to what those men said. He said, "If you utter not this our business, your house is going to be saved." The lesson to learn this morning is that sometimes, dear sister, a silent tongue, it can save your household. If we learn there are some things that we just ought not to talk about. There are some things that just aren't our business. Amen. Like running people down and talking about others behind their back. Those two spies said, "If you tell our business when we come, we're going to destroy you. But if you keep your mouth shut when we come, we're going to save you alive." Amen. This woman, Rahab, as she understood keeping that tongue silent when it mattered to, but also notice the scarlet thread. And they said, you shall bind this line of scarlet thread or rope in the window that thou let us down by. And when we are marching around the walls of Jericho, when we look up, we won't see Rahab, but what we will see is a scarlet thread. I want to preach to you this morning that when your children look for you, let them see the scarlet thread. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the power of God. Let them see a saved life. Let them see a resurrected life. Let them see a person of God. You see that scarlet thread. It represented the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed down Calvary's hill. I want to tell you this morning, sister, amen, your life, it can be saved by a scarlet thread. And not your life only, but the life of your family, the life of your children. It was all saved because of the scarlet thread. I want to tell you this morning that the blood of Jesus is strong enough to save your family. It's strong enough to save your husband. It's strong enough to save your children. And when they look at the window, let them see the blood of Jesus Christ.
I'm challenging this morning the mothers and grandmothers. Bind in your window a scarlet thread. Bind it upon your house that when others of the church walk by, they see the scarlet thread. The color of the thread speaks of the blood, Brother Hannibal, of Jesus Christ that shed in 1 John 1:7 that cleanses us from all sin. I want to tell you about the red blood of Jesus Christ that takes a black heart and makes it whiter than snow. It's the scarlet blood of Jesus that you can hang from your window. God provided a way of salvation for Rahab's family, and it was in her house through the window. I'm closing. As I close, I ask you the question, sister, which woman in the window will you be? The mother of Sisera, who raised her son to be a killer and a hater of God's people, who looked out the window waiting on her son to come home, and he never did because he met the judgment of God. I don't feel like you want to be that woman. Or would you be Michael, who looks out and despises God? Despises your husband, despises your children who worship before God, who praise Him, who love and adore Him. I don't feel like you want to be that woman, Michael. The Bible said she rises up early while it is yet dark. She works tirelessly. The Bible said that her husband is known in the gate, and that the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Or Jezebel, who painted her face, put on her makeup, fixed her hair, looked out the window over the face of the harlot, trying to seduce the king. You don't want to be that woman. No, that's not who you want to be. You want to be this last woman, Rahab. The beginning of her life was a very rocky and rough story. Very evil, very wicked. But one day she met two men that told her about God.
She said, I want that. And she took the scarlet thread. She bound it upon the window sill and threw it out. And it became salvation to her whole house. That's the woman that I feel like you want to be this morning. That woman who knows the blood of Jesus will save my house. The blood of Jesus is what I need in my home. It's what I need in my family. You see, if she had not had that scarlet thread, she would have died along with her children, her family. But because of the scarlet thread, her whole house was saved. I don't know how you believe it. I can't say that I found it in the Bible really exactly like this. But the Bible said that the walls of Jericho, they fell down flat. But the house of Rahab the harlot was saved. And just in my mind, I see leveled walls. Where there had been walls, there's now nothing. But way back over there, I see a wall standing. Just a small portion, about the size of a house. If you strain to see, Brother Donnie, there's a scarlet thread hanging in the window. Saved her house. So what I want to ask you this morning, do you have a scarlet thread in your window? Or are you one of these other women in the window? Do you have that blood of Calvary's whole rugged cross streaming down upon your life? And when your children look back in the window, do they see the mother of Sisera? Do they see Michael? Do they see Jezebel? Or do they only see a scarlet thread where Rahab has hung it? Hallelujah. Oh, that's what I love this morning. But I believe there's some mothers here today that say, Brother Joseph, I want to make sure my children and grandchildren see a scarlet thread. I want to make sure my family, they might be grown and gone and living their own life, but I want to make sure of this. When they look at me, they see a scarlet thread hanging from my window. Because it's not all about me, but it's all about the Christ that saved me. It's not all about what I have done and where I've been, but it's all about what He has done in me and where He has taken me. Oh, I want to see the blood on my life. Oh, I'm thankful this morning for that scarlet thread. Would you stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed? I'd like for you to pray with me for just a moment. Lord, help us to be the person that you want me to be. Help me to be that child of God that would be pleasing. Sister, pray. Help me to be the mother God's called me to be. Help me to be the one that my children would rise up and call blessed according to the Bible, what the Bible said. Not to rise up and disdain me or spit in my face, but to rise up and say, blessed art thou above women. Help me, Lord. Brother, you could do it for your home. Bind that scarlet thread. Be the salvation of your family. Bind it in the window. Let's pray for a few minutes, just right where you are. Sing it, sister, this morning. Come on, mother. Come on, sister. It's not too late for you to turn your life around. It's not too late for you to hang that thread in the window. Come on, pray this morning. I love you today, Father. I don't want to be the one that despises holiness. I don't want to be the one that despises truth. I don't want to be the one that mocks the preacher. I don't want to be the one that says you didn't have to do all that. That's what Michael did. Michael was cursed because he told David, you didn't have to do all that. You don't have to act like that. She looked out the window and despised David. You don't have to be that mother that allows your child to be raised without knowledge of the truth and with hatred of the gospel. You can raise him to be a lover of the truth. The mother of Sisera cried, where is my boy? My wandering, wandering boy. Her boy was never coming home. He's in the tent of Jael. With a nail in his temple. He fell down. He died. Never coming home. Don't raise your children to be like that. What kind of influence are you being on them? Don't be like the mother of Sisera. And when those children become driving age, you lay awake at night wondering, fretting, biting your nails. Oh, listen, when they turn 16, 17, you might call them on the phone and say, son, I'm your mama. I say, get home right now. What are you going to do if they don't? What if they laugh and say, I'll be home when I get home? Because that's the way you've taught them to be. When you lay awake at night, troubled and wondering, wonder where they're at, and they've got their head laid in the lap of some strange woman. Son, I said, get home. They laugh and say, I'll be home later. You better mark this preacher. It'll happen. I don't want to be the mother of Sisera. I don't want to be like Jezebel. Fell out the window, lost her life. Keep your attention here. I believe you want to be like Rahab. Rahab who bound that scarlet thread in the window. It saved her house. It saved her family. Thank you, Lord.